I'm Susan Lewis, and we are here in the WRTI Performance Studio with Donald Nally and The Crossing. Welcome, everyone.
It's great to be here.
The Crossing, founded in 2005, you guys have done amazing things in the last 13 years or so. You've done 70 world premieres, 14 recordings. You perform locally and beyond. You perform in conventional choir setting, but also in theatrical stagings as well. And judging from how you fit everyone into the performance studio today, you're really adept at fitting in unusual spaces.
We change our shape easily.
Well, the critics have called you sublime, extraordinary, ardently angelic, and something of a miracle. So congratulations for all your successes.
Thank you.
And we're very happy you're here. Donald, you also are very busy. You're a professor of music at Northwestern. You've been involved in a lot of other choruses. Why did you found The Crossing?
You know, so our friend Jeff Dinsmore and I, and lots and lots of singers in Philadelphia, really had a community, and we love singing together. And I moved to Wales. And that all changed because I was living across the sea, and I came back one summer, and we were talking about, we should just sing because we really love singing together. And we made up a concert, and the folks at St. Mark's, where we had sung together before, said, sure, you can use our church. And we put on a concert, and we went, maybe that's a thing, because it worked really well, and we got a great critical response, we got a terrific crowd, and so the next year we went, maybe we should do two. We'll try that. And then next year we went, maybe we should do three. And then the next year we went, okay, I think we maybe have a season and we should start thinking about who we really are.
And who is that?
We're a new music choir. We're dedicated to creating new pieces, thinking, you know, new ways of thinking about how to present them, what the text, you know, who has the voice, how's the voice being used, so therefore texts are really important to us, words, contemporary voices mostly, we're dedicated to bringing, you know, inspiring new works of substantial length, bringing them to life, and recording them so that, with the composer in the room, so that we have a record, literally, of what this piece should sound like.
And since 2009, you've been doing this annual festival in June called Month of Moderns.
Yes.
And each year there are three programs organized by a theme.
Yeah, they always, you know, sometimes the themes are a project like poetry of Paul Celan or Philip Levine. Sometimes they're looser, like this year. We have an overall theme for the year, which is Cattle of the Sun, and it has to do with desire and longing and truth. So this year we're looking kind of like at life cycles. One is all about how we move from the intimate to the political and back. One is really about love relationships, and one is about the spiritual.
So today you're performing three works for us by composers who are represented in this year's festival.
Yes.
So let's get to music.
Great.
Conflict healed.
People.
By
Thank you so much. Powerful music and powerful text.
Yes, that's a piece I commissioned for a performance at the National Cathedral this past March, and it is the dedicatory inscription above the Abraham Lincoln statue in the Lincoln Bay there.
What is the process when you work with text and a composer?
Well. That's a good question. We're really hands-on. I know what they're going to want to work with, which is intellectually challenging and politically challenging, social advocacy, things about the environment, how we live our lives, how we treat each other, the other. And our audience, our greater community, beyond singers into people that come to Chestnut Hill, and beyond that, people that listen to recordings or come to hear us in New York or LA or whatever, they tend to be the same types of people. So I work with composers very carefully before we sign off on, yes, let's make this project. And we never just say, oh, just write a piece for us, because we also have themes that we work with from year to year. And so it's a pretty long dialogue. It usually takes a year.
When you say the audience tends to be the same type of people, you mean?
People that really want to be put in the position to have to think about their lives when they're listening to art, right? Or looking at art or whatever. We try to, we're not trying to challenge anybody, because we're not in the education business, right? We're essentially entertainers. But at the same time, we want to be fulfilled and learn more about our lives, right? What does art do, right? It defines and describes our world so that we can maybe momentarily make some sense out of the chaos. And that's what we're trying to do.
So sometimes you take text that already exists and set music to it, and sometimes the text is created for the
yes.
piece.
Yeah, right. And we're going to hear a piece later on our program by David Lang, and he's very interesting with text, because he goes in between. He likes to take text that exists and then extract a whole bunch of stuff out of it and make it his own, and then set that. He doesn't like to set poetry of other people because he feels like it's finished.
I saw an interview with him, with you talking to him, and him expressing that feeling that there's a certain rhythm to poetry, and when you add music, you have to make choices that might violate that.
Right. That was talking about a piece where I asked him to set a poem of Philip Levine, and he said no. He said, I'd love to be a part of your project, but I'm not going to do that because Philip Levine's a really good poet, and I'm not going to take his poetry and do that. But instead, he said, I'll set something that I think Philip Levine would really care about. And he set this Eugene Debs statement to the court on being convicted of sedition. And we actually just did that on the first Month of Moderns program.
Wow. So this was Lincoln that we just heard.
That was Lincoln, yeah. And I really like it because it talks about how he healed a nation through the truth that marches on. And I just think that's a really, appropriate sentiment right now.
Yes. Okay. If you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with Donald Nally and The Crossing, all 24 members?
Yes.
How many voice parts are there in any given piece?
if they were not on camera right now, they'd be going like, oh my God. So we have composers that like to write things in 24 parts sometimes. So there are a number of pieces. So really, obviously anywhere from four SATB. But most of the time, composers that write for us want to write to at least 12, and some of them go to 24. And it's usually like there's this piece that we do by Michael Gordon that winds up in a canon at the eighth note, and it's just crazy and it's wonderful. The effect is incredible, but oof.
Wow. Well, it's such a rich sound. What will we hear now?
We are going to sing for you a movement from Robert Combry's Voyages. It's a six-movement work that we're performing on Sunday, and the second Month of Moderns concert. And this is the first movement of Voyages, and it's a setting of Hart Crane. For this concert, it was suggested by Benjamin Boyle, who's a Philadelphia composer, to set parts of Voyages by Hart Crane. And I said, great, because I've already had it set back in the 90s, and I love it, so let's put them both on the same program and see how two composers play with that, right? I think you may have heard me say before, we've got thousands and thousands of different composers' views of Kyrie Eleison. How about two of Hart Crane's Voyages? So this first movement is the beginning of a journey, a love journey that doesn't end well. The cycle kind of like develops into a height of the love journey, and then you can feel it, just ebbing. And this one is Hart Crane looking at a bunch of children on the seashore playing and having fun, and you hear the thunder of the waves crashing, and he says, but if you could hear me, I would tell you, be careful, because if you open your heart too far, you'll be hurt. And that's basically what this first movement is.
Okay.
Okay, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That is Voyages. That will be performed this Sunday.
This Sunday at 4 at the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill in Philadelphia.
It's the second of your three programs for this year's Month of Moderns.
It is.
Now, on your materials, the description of the crossing is of someone committed to work, or a group committed to working with creative teams to make and record substantial works, most often addressing social issues, with the possibility of changing the way we think about writing for choir, singing for choir, and listening to music for choir. How would you like to change the way we listen and to choir?
Well, so it says possibility. Because, you know, I'm not intent on, I like doing what I like to do, right? You know, and these guys seem to like doing what I like to do most of the time. but I'm not like, it's not a critical statement about other people's things because they can do what they like to do too. And the point to that is that we are encouraging composers of all different kinds of styles because we live in this post-genre era right now, okay? And we're entering deeper and deeper into this place where the division between classical music, so-called classical music, and pop and rock and hip-hop and all this jazz, whatever, they're really, really diminishing, right? And at the same time, we're seeing the return of the composer-performer, which is a really exciting thing. Caroline Shaw is a great example of that. Ted Hearn's a great example of that. So with that comes this kind of... open, you know, invitation, I would say, to a composer to say, so, you know, you've got these these guys, okay? They're killer musicians. And you write in a certain style, and then you go, and we've had this happen where somebody will go like, you know, I'll go to somebody and say like, write this, I want you to write a piece of music. This is a long time ago. And they go like, okay, I have to write a choral music. So I'll write like a choral piece, and and it comes out choral, and it's got like a melody in it. And we're not really interested in that. We're interested in different kinds of languages, different kinds of counterpoints that talk about our world, that are different grammars, you know? And so that's really what that means, because if you say to a Ted Hearn, write a piece about the Supreme Court Citizens United case, and he says, okay, good. There's gonna be a part in it that sounds a little like a pop song, and another part that sounds a little bit like Gilbert and Sullivan, and another part that's extraordinarily, you know, rocked out, and another part that like is incredibly internal, then we're kind of like a little bit away from like a standardized idea about like what you're gonna see when you go and sit in a pew and listen to, you know, a bunch of people dressed in tuxedos and sing choral music, right? Which is like a little Palestrina and some Ravel and maybe a spiritual at the end, right? So that is not what we do. And that's what that means, because then it forces them to find new ways of singing. I mean, you know, we're constantly having, you know, Gabriel Jackson is a great example of this, right? We've challenged him, he's written to the occasion, found new things in himself, come back to us, and we've gone, wow, we have to find ways of performing this, really challenging music. And then the listener comes and they're trusting us, right? They know they haven't heard this before because it hasn't been heard before. And so they're trusting us to come to hear a world premiere and that it's going to engage them. And that's what we mean by new ways of listening, because there's the new sounds coming at them. So that's essentially the answer.
And you're a singer and you've been involved in all these other choirs, and this is wonderful choir now. The human voice seems to be a particularly evocative way to express some of the things that we go through in life.
Yeah, well, so my comments on that are twofold. You know, one is I used to be a singer. They could vouch for not being a singer. I used to be a singer. So I got attracted at a very early age to choral sounds because the different colors that voices make, as well as strings and brass and everything else, but particularly even voices, mean something very distinct to me, you know, and I discovered this very early in line that I just became obsessed with, like, what does that color mean, and what is that color, and what happens when you change to a steely sound, and what happens when you become completely internal in your sound, and how that changes the way in which it's received, right, because everything is about receiving. So that's the first part of that, you know, issue. And the other part is that we have words, right? So there's two grammars working at the same time. There's the grammar of music, which has its own rules, and they change, but we recognize the gestures of them. And there's the grammar of our language, which is English, and that has its own rules. And we recognize also when those rules are bent, such as in Hart Crane. And all those contexts mean, so when you combine those two grammars, your brain is firing on a couple of levels. You know, you get both your left and your right going. And so for us, you know, I think that we are always interested in, and I'm not sure if this is where you were going, but, you know, I do think that when you put the words with it, and we always make sure that the words are very clearly understood, either by supertitles or by our wonderful diction or whatever, how we say those words, again, going back to who has the voice and how is it being used, like who made the words we're singing and what does it feel like for me to say those words because they're not my words, is a very, very integral part of the way in which we make art.
If you're just joining us, we are in the WRTI Performance Studio with Donald Nally and The Crossing. Well, now it's clear that for you, The Crossing is a calling.
It is.
And we know you love it. What about you all? Would anybody like to talk about what The Crossing means to you and what it's like to sing in this group?
Okay. For me, I started in 2009 and I just have returned to Month of Moderns after about a 2-year absence. I've moved to Michigan, actually, so I came all the way back with my newborn baby to participate in this month. But for me, The Crossing is a place where the experience of making music, which we've all studied and practiced in various ways as a historical art, becomes a living art, which is to say that the opportunity for Donald to turn to the composer in the room and say, hey, what do you think about that? Or even turn to us and say, what do you think about that? It's a huge challenge, and it's an opportunity that I've not experienced anywhere else. I think it really speaks to the level of excellence that my peers bring to this craft, that we are essentially charged with being co-creators here. And there are huge risks, certainly musical risks, definitely risks in terms of content that I know our amazing audience can probably attest to, but there are also huge rewards, and living in that potential is just unlike anything I've ever done.
Wow, great.
Okay, we'll let her hang around for a while.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Kelly Bixby.
Great. Well, anybody else? Okay, well,
they're shy. Not at all.
They communicate by
that. That couldn't be more untrue.
Well, what is the last piece on our program today?
We are going to go back to a piece from Month of Moderns 1. We actually just finished a recording. As I said earlier, we're recording everything that we commission. And so we just finished a recording of David Lang's works. This is from that recording. It's a piece called Last Spring. He wrote it in memory of a friend. And he was in the middle of writing a piece for a Norwegian choir and had decided that he was going to set a text that Edvard Grieg had set, again, extracting it and making it his own, right? Not actually setting the poem. And the setting is an older person looking at the spring coming and the ice cracking and the snow melting and wondering if after all of these many springs, maybe more than my share, if he'll be here the next spring.
The crossing.
More time.
need to take a moment after that. That was beautiful.
Thanks, you guys.
That was by David Lang?
Yes, and last spring.
Last spring, and you recorded that last week.
We did, yeah.
You make a lot of recordings.
We do. We're making four this summer.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and we made one in March.
And if you want to hear The Crossing live, we are in the midst of the Month of Moderns. There's a performance this Sunday.
4 p.m., Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill, and the following, two Saturdays from then, the 30th, 8 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill.
And the last one features WRTI's own Kyle Smith.
This is the fourth major work that he's written for us, and the fifth major work that we've performed of his. It's a full concert-length, unaccompanied evening, so it's a challenge, and we're really looking forward to it. He's setting poetry of Robert Lack's, really kind of profound thinker and close friend of Thomas Merton, and sort of along the same lines of pacifist Eastern Christian mix, and it's really interesting.
Wow, that's a lot of music to learn for this month of moderns, isn't it?
Yes. I'll answer for them because I don't want them to answer. Yeah, it is. But, you know, like everybody does their prep work and we all come in and we're patient with each other and it's fun.
Well, we are so grateful that you came to WRTI, to the performance studio, to perform for us. It's been wonderful. There's something that's just so resonant about your singing. And maybe it was because there are a lot of different parts to it, but the piece you just sang, it sounded like there was just more than just a choir.
What's so wonderful about that piece is that it starts out with just the four parts, really simple, you know, and then it takes these four solos. The solos, by the way, are really scary. Because you just sustain forever, you know, and they're so good. First it starts with a soprano, then it adds the tenor, then it adds the mezzo, and then it adds the bass, and then the piece begins to fall apart, right? Because the spring is coming and the ice is melting, and maybe that's what's left of life is just this fragility, right? The piece becomes incredibly fragile. So yes, you're right. It's more than just a choir because there's this quartet in it they don't take over. They just emerge in relief.
It really, really touched me, and I'm sure it touched a lot of people. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks.
And again, at the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill on Sunday, June 17th at 4 p.m.
Yes.
Is part two of the Month of Moderns, Voyages, and part three is Ark in the Sky, written by Kyle Smith. That's Saturday, June 30th at 8 p.m.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And this is Susan Lewis from the WRTI Performance Studio. Back to regular programming.